Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And he got him. That's the ball game. The Pirates with a one-sided win. They started off quietly, but Greg Allen and the boys, they beat the Birds 8-1.
You know, looking at the replay too, it felt like his right foot was on the line or on the foul side of the line, giving the runner a clear lane. The ball beat him. The throw from the left field line takes him into the plate. I'm not sure what a catcher is supposed to do at that point. That being said, we didn't do much offensively. And, Mateo with a big homer, when we had four hits. So would that play at the plate change the game? I don't know. You know, I'd like to have stayed in it a little bit longer. But we need to swing the bat a little better net.
Yeah, quiet offensive afternoon for the Orioles on a hot Sunday. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Pirates, that was Pirates TV, by the way, on the call. 8-1 walk-away win, and they get out of Baltimore, salvaging the series finale. Orioles do win the first two games of the series, but yesterday ended their five-game winning streak, which has put them into all sorts of playoff conversations, which we're going to get to. But Brandon Hyde lamenting the offense. They were 0-for-1 with runners in scoring position. So you see the obvious there. They didn't have a lot of guys running around the base paths yesterday. Mateo provided the offense with a home run. Gave the Orioles an early lead. And then Spencer Watkins, wasn't bad. He had a perfect game going through three.
Yeah, 13 straight batters he put down.
And then a lot of soft contact. As we talk about baseball now in these 2022 terms, soft contact and bloopers and bleeders, whatever you want to call them, kind of did him in. And then you heard, of course, Brandon Hyde, Oriole manager, talking about the play at the plate in the seventh. At the time, it was still 4-1 Pittsburgh. Right. And did it change the tone of the game? Well, it got pear-shaped after that for the Orioles. And you heard Hyder say, I'd like to have kept it to that three-run deficit and see what would have gone down later on. But Chirinos blocked the plate. Allen was called out. To Brandon Hyde's point, and, Brandon Hyde, catcher, as a professional player, so he knows the position better than anyone. And we know nowadays, Major League Baseball rules, you can't block the plate, especially when you don't have the ball. You can't just set up camp and dare the runner to run through you. There has to be a lane where the runner can get to home plate. But, and I'm just asking, because I don't know the answer. All right, you got a lot going on in that situation. You got a grounder that's deflected. Mateo fields it. You have a runner coming around third base. So you're Chirinos, and you're watching Mateo. You're following the runner. You're also trying to figure out what the safe zone is for you in regards to being the catcher. If you missed the play, everybody, he was in the right-handed batter's box.
Mm-hmm.
But his foot may have been camped outside the foul line, which I guess is a violation. So you got two things. You've got a runner coming at you who may choose to take you out. You're not supposed to do that anymore. Right. But then you're concentrating on the ball. So to Brandon Hyde's point, and I understand the rule was implemented because the safety for the players and Buster Posey got lit up way back when, cost him most of that particular season. But what the hell are you supposed to do if you're Robinson Chirinos?
Right.
I mean, it's like, wait a minute. Do you go, hey, timeout? Can you stop at third base so I can figure out where I'm allowed to stand so that you're going to have a fair lane to get into home? No. He's going on instinct alone. Major League Baseball, baseball has been a thing going back to the 1860s. And I understand rules have changed and you don't want hard contact physically. That's why you can't take anybody out at second base and you can't go off your path to make it a point to get to the second baseman or shortstop to try to break up a double play. I mean, I get that even to some level, but I mean, you saw what happened in Minnesota.
Oh, that was a joke.
As well with Toronto.
In the 10th inning.
With Gary Sanchez. It's just like, what the hell? What more are these guys supposed to do? So I can understand Brandon Hyde's frustration. Looking at it from a player safety standpoint. I think it's a dumb rule. I get it. And now the catcher is usually the one who gets lit up
right
in these situations. But it's ironic that a rule was put into place to kind of save you is now costing teams more than it's helping them, yeah. It seems.
Now, is the Minnesota manager, is he a catcher too, Bob? A
Rocco catcher? Bella? No, he's an outfielder.
Okay. Just because Hyder was a catcher. So, I mean, Hyder, you know, he understands being in that position. I thought both of them were bad calls. I saw them both. And I thought they were both, like, when they called it, I'm like, for what? You know, what'd he do?
Well, Allen, you saw, got up the base runner and, you know, claimed interference, which was upheld, or the call was actually reversed.
Yes.
In New York, the Minnesota-Toronto game, that was the game-winning run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he would have been out, that would have been donezo, and they're in extras anyway. That proved to be the game winner for the Blue Jays, who, by the way, are going to be in Baltimore tonight. But that being said, don't want to sit here and complain too much. They did win 2 out of 3 from the Pirates. Toronto's coming to town. Team you're chasing in the wild card standings in the American League. The Orioles had won 5 in a row heading into that one. So still a glorious weekend. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And on Saturday, Vinny, 41,000 people plus.
I know.
In attendance.
My daughter, Charlie, and Charlie's girlfriend, they were all at the game. You know, so they had an awesome time. They didn't stay for the concert, but they went to the game.
Yeah, and then Friday night, it was raining. I mean, I went and got my bobblehead, representing as a fan, not as a member of the media. Got the Cedric Mullins bobblehead, and that D. Kramer, who we talked about on Friday, needed to step up. Well, he did. He got the win. Orioles win 1-0. So, first loss since the trade deadline. And all of these doom and gloomers. Oh, my God, they've ruined the chemistry of the team with these trades. Why would you do that? And it did agitate members of the ball club, as you heard. But in the end game, they still have to go out and do a job. Trey Mancini hit 2 bombs over the weekend in a game.
Grand slam.
Yeah, for Houston, they lost yesterday. And then Lopi, part of this whole Minnesota team, now holding off Cleveland in the AL Central. But, you know, the Orioles didn't miss a beat. But now the Blue Jays come to town, and this is going to start a stretch of games for the Orioles here, where you've got Toronto for 3. Then you go to Boston on a one-off Thursday night, makeup game. Then you go to the Trop. Now Tampa, they scored 7 runs in the 9th yesterday to win their game, which we'll get to during the whip. But the Orioles have held their own, to say the least, with the Rays this year. So after 3 at the Trop, you go to Toronto again for 3. So this is, you got, let's see, they're all division games heading into the Cubs. So we're going to find out what the Orioles are all about here over the next 10 days. And are they going to creep closer to the wild card where they're 2 out? I mean, they can make ground on Toronto over the next 3 days.
Well, they'll be in the playoffs if they sweep Toronto.
So it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks for the Orioles. It's the first week of August. It's been completed. We start talking in pennant races. In reality, it's probably in another couple of weeks. But once the dog days get here, teams start to falter. The trade deadline's gone. Orioles have represented themselves nicely. Thank you very much. So Orioles Blue Jays tonight, we're talking about it here on The Fan. Vinny was out at Canton, Ohio.
Yep.
Over the weekend. One of the big news stories, of course, was the NFL Hall of Fame inductions for the class of 2022. And Vinny, give us an idea of how that weekend went.
That was awesome. I had a great time. You know, I mean, what was cool about it was since I recruited Bryant Young to Notre Dame, you know, there was a lot of Notre Dame people there. And then I drafted him in San Fran. So there was, it was a combination of Notre Dame and San Fran. So there was like 30 guys that I recruited that were there. Bunch of former Niners, you know, and a lot of guys that were in the hall. Eddie DeBartolo was there. Eddie put the party on. So it was like I hadn't seen a lot of those guys, especially the Notre Dame guys, in a long time. So it was fun to see them. And I was telling Bob, like, all these guys, like, they own their own companies now. And they're actually one of them. Like, when I got to the hotel Friday night, I ran into, you know, Nick Smith, who played for me, was from Cincinnati. Junior Bryant was the number one defensive lineman in the country coming out of Omaha Creighton Prep. He and Rick Meyer were the number one players in that Georgia, you know, they were the ones that were at that banquet. Rick was the number one offensive player in the country, and Junior was the number one defensive player in the country, and JB was there. So, and then Derek Deese. He showed up. He played. I didn't realize he played 14 years. Bob, he said he doesn't have to work. He said, I don't do anything.
Good for him.
Yeah, and his son got drafted from San Jose State, tight end, to Detroit Lions. You know, so he was there. And then Roy Barker, he showed up Friday night. But then Saturday, you know, I went over to the place, took the bus over, got there. I got there early, you know, and got a chance to see a lot of people. It was so much fun. And then the speeches. You know, Bryant Young was sixth, so his was the best speech, and that's what everybody at ESPN, you know, any article you read, they talked about Bryant Young's speech because of his son, and we had BY on the show,
sure,
you know, and we never got into it with it about his son and
Kobe.
Stuff, but there was not a dry eye in that stadium, you know, and then I left before Dick Vermeil talked because he went over 20 minutes. So I was.
Why not?
Yeah. He was thanking everybody, you know. So it was really a fun time. And then the party that night, Eddie put on the party, and you know, everybody was there. So you got a chance to talk to everybody, see everybody, and you know, Chris Berman.
Dick Vermeil's got more to say. He wanted to get us on the phone.
Everybody was saying that kind of, you know, like the announcers on the radio when I was driving yesterday. Bobby says. Well, he thanked everybody but me, you know.
We'll get into more of Vinny's weekend in Canton. Hall of Fame class 2022 going into immortality as football gods here in the United States. Orioles, chances of the playoffs have gotten up to 40%. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Nolan, when I was kind of joking around, hey, we're only 7 out of the wild card. Hey, we're only 6 out of the wild card. Well, going into yesterday, there were only 1. Out of the wild card, now 2 as the series with Toronto looms. But you gauge the Orioles' chances of getting into the postseason. Give us a call at 410-583-1057. And Ravens news. They're back at practice today. It's going to be hot out there, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Rashad Bateman, soft tissue. Tyler Linderbaum. Yeah, what? What's going on here? What do we got? You're confusing me, Nolan.
I pressed the wrong button.
Yes,
that's my
you
bad.
Did. Don't be pressing button. Tyler Linderbaum, foot injury. Could be out a couple of weeks. Preseason opener is Thursday against Tennessee. Pick the starter expected to play. That's like, where's Waldo here on the Fan?
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You're cheap.
And one plays scratch-offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles back in action tonight, taking on the Blue Jays. Me and Mike Bordick going to be down at Pickles.
I'm going to be I got to take Rachel to soccer, and I'll put the Odyssey app on, and 6 to 7, I'll be listening to you as I walk around the track.
It's going to be hot downtown Baltimore today. Nolan's going to be down there. So we're going to make this a party that only Eddie DeBartolo could top with me and Nolan and Mike Bordick down at Pickles. Getting ready for the Blue Jays in the Orioles game 1 of a 3-game set. Orioles lose yesterday 8-1. Kind of got the pants pulled down a little bit there as the Pirates silenced Oriole bats, but they do win the series, and that's all that matters. Now let's see how they respond against a Toronto team that right now holds the top wildcard spot in the American League. Ravens back at it today. One winning drive. And it was an interesting last week for Baltimore. Tyler Linderbaum, he goes down with a foot. And then Rashad Bateman did not practice on Friday. And yep. John Harbaugh met with the media and explained what's going on with his top receiver.
There are guys with minor things. Rashad's one of those guys. Probably could have gone today, and we just said no. We'll probably hold him out tomorrow too. Some of that soft tissue stuff, fatigue starts to set in. You know, that's where we're at with a couple guys.
All right, what's he saying there?
Soft tissue. I'm guessing it's a hammy.
And then fatigue is setting in.
Well, Bob, I mean, it's hot as you know what out there. And you know how many routes receivers run? I mean, they run from the start of practice to the end of practice, basically, because, you know, I mean, they get there, they're doing an individual. Well, in special teams, they're all on something, either returns or whatever. So you're running there. And then in your drills, you're running. You know, that's why I always used to like, you know, you use tail end of the routes, which means the last three steps of the route to save yourself a little bit. But I mean, like, he's running a million routes. I mean, they do pass scale, they do team, you know, and he's going every other rep. So receivers are running all day long, you know, so I can see it. I mean, thank God it's not. I can't believe how receivers, I mean, Bob, when I was like in college and we were doing 2 days and I was a receiver, my legs were, you know, I mean, you got to go sit in that cold ice tub, sure, you know, to get your legs back because they're dead. And that's how these guys are, you know. So, you know, and you got to sprint, you got to cut, you know. So it's not easy. Wide receiver and DBs probably run more than anybody, and running backs.
Now, if he's not practicing today, however, how are we going to start viewing things?
Well, because yesterday was an off day. Then it's got to be, then there's, you know, then he tweaked something. You know, then it's not he could have practiced today because there's been an off day, you know. So hopefully he's back out there. I mean, Duvernay hadn't been back out, you know, what do you have, a quad, something? You know, so, I mean, you know, that receiving group, you know, when Duvernay and Bateman aren't there, looks a little bleak out there. Let me just say that.
Yeah, bleak to the point where they're going to go look for people. That remains to be seen. But at the center position, one of the Ravens' two first-round draft picks, Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa, got stepped on. Vinny was there, and he saw it unfold. And John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach this past Friday, gives us a status report on the starting center rookie guy.
Linderbaum got the MRI, got it back. It's not a serious thing. It's going to be probably at least a week. You know, just let it settle down. It could be 2 weeks. You know, of course, he'll tell me otherwise, but, you know, it's not going to be through all the training camp unless something changes. So that's where we're at with that today.
Yeah, I was asking because I, like you said, Bob, I did see it. And like, you know, because there was reports it was ankle, I said, no, it wasn't. He got his footstep because they were reaching. Like I was telling you on, what, Friday or Thursday, whatever. They were reaching and somebody stepped on his foot. And when let's just say Travis Jones stepped on his foot or, you know, Michael Pierce, 360 pounds, stepped on his foot, you know. And I asked my wife about it because she's orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon. And I says, you know, they said, Becky, the MRI is clean. Says, well, he probably has a bruise, that like a bone bruise, which, you know, I mean, we've heard, oh, that's not bad. Yeah, it is. You know,
well, not Lamar kind of bone bruise last year.
Yeah, so it can take, you know, a couple weeks. And the thing with an offensive line, really any football player, any athlete, dealing with your foot, you know, if your foot's not right, you can't do anything because he can't plant, you know, he can't push off, he can't run. So you need your foot, you know, you need strength in your foot. So let's say he's out 2 weeks, Bob. That would be, you know, I would think that a rookie, you'd want him to get at least one preseason game in. You know, so he's going to miss this one, and I'm guessing he's going to miss the next one. If he can play in the third preseason game, which is what, Bob, August?
27th.
27th. Today is the 8th of August. Yeah, so, I mean, you got a couple weeks. If he could play in that one, and then that would give him 3 weeks – you know, playing that game, and then you got two more weeks prior to the opener, you know, so then I would think he would be ready because he has taken every rep at number ones. OTAs, mini camp, he's been the number one center. And, you know, I was thinking about it driving in is like because McCarry is playing at center right now. So with McCarry at center, what does that do? Then that takes away your number one backup. So right now, well, let's just say Ronnie Stanley doesn't play in a Jets game, okay? So that means Juwan James is playing left tackle and Morgan Moses is playing right tackle. So if Juwan James got hurt, then Moses would have to go over to left and then Falele would have to play right because McCarry's, you know, is playing like center. You know, so it the musical chair, you know, because you lost your best backup or already he's in there, you know.
What does Linderbaum miss being out for at least a week, as you heard John Harbaugh say? Probably longer than that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, he'll be in the meetings and stuff. So he's just missing reps. You know, he's just missing. Who was I talking to at the, my buddy Joe Collins was a scout forever. You know, and he still works for Blesto. He's 75 years old. You know, and I was asking him what he thought of Linderbaum. He said, you know, I think he's a really good football player. You know, I mean, that was kind of his opinion, too. So, you know, is Linderbaum missing a lot? Yeah, I mean, you'd like him to have the reps because he's a rookie. But, you know, if he gets 3 weeks of reps prior to, you know, I think he'll be fine because Bobby took every rep in OTAs, every rep in the mini camp, you know, so I don't think it'll be that big a deal for him.
Ravens back at it today, 135. It's going to be hot when we come back. We'll talk about the first couple of weeks of camp and give Vinny's thoughts on guys who have shined, guys who have scuffled, how's John Harbaugh feeling on the eve of the Ravens preseason opener. What they've won, 20 straight games or something zany like that in the preseason? They haven't lost a preseason game since 2015. Not that any of that matters, but we'll get in. Your thoughts, everybody, at 410-583-1057. If you had to predict a simple yes or no question, Orioles make the playoffs, are you saying yes? Are you saying no? We'll discuss that later on in this hour. Zach Silver covers the Orioles for MLB.com, joins us at 11 o'clock. It's Vinny Hayden, Nolan McGraw. It's a hot Monday here on The Fan.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh!
Caught by Mark Andrews.
What a play!
Football is back, baby.
Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hattie here on this Monday. Next segment, going to talk about the Orioles. Simple yes or no. You think they're going to make the playoffs? I know it's a multi-layered discussion, of course.
Can you give me till Wednesday, Thursday morning?
Well, can we do like a how you leaning scenario?
Yeah.
Like hypothetical.
Just because I think this Tampa series is going to tell a lot.
Toronto.
Or Toronto, I meant.
And then
yeah.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Tampa, and then squeezing the old Red Sox in there, who are still alive. Boston's, what, 3 games out of the wild card right now. So it's going to be a strong week for the Orioles, determining some things. Either status quo in it, ascending higher up the AL pecking order, or, you know, not going for Micah. They don't get hammer-timed and fall back a little
Who's pitching tonight?
Jordan Lyles.
Okay.
Against Kikuchi for the Toronto Blue Jays. So on a hot, humid night.
Well, every of them. All of them are.
Baltimore, Maryland. That ball be flying out of here. Could Brian Hayes blast one into the bullpen, and then Jorge Mateo hit one down the left field line. But we'll see how the Orioles respond. Toronto coming to town, and they're always fun and exciting. And Gausman pitched yesterday, so the Orioles are going to miss him this series.
Bob, you know who I've been kind of impressed with? The more I watch him, the more I kind of like, because he's a really smart player. Vavra. You know, like that play.
And you dismissed him after one game.
I eat him. Instant evaluation. But I mean,
you needed 2 more days.
Yeah. Well, you know, like the play he made when Mountcastle screwed up the play at first. And then,
oh, sure.
And then he went and, you know, picked it up and they still got the guy out. To me, that's a headsy play. You know, most guys, you know, you're standing watching or whatever, but he was right there.
And kudos to Watkins for fielding his position.
No doubt. Because
some pitchers will stand there and watch it all unfold. He had the wherewithal to get there. And to your point, Vavra, I mean, he's got speed.
Yeah.
Positional versatility. I mean, doesn't have like a cannon arm at second base, but that's kind of his position by trade. Odor was at third base yesterday. Okay, we'll get to the Orioles yesterday. Norm wants to get in on this because he's always very excited about his Birds of Baltimore. But let's transition back to the Ravens. And, you know, got an interesting day coming up here as training camp resumes. It's going to be hot. And at this stage, and we talked about it, Vinny, a couple segments ago, where, you know, they've done the practice rod, the temperature's starting to percolate. I mean, they haven't played a preseason game yet, though. Let's stress that. But where are the players feeling right now in regards to what training camp 2022 is like for them?
I'm guessing they're ready to play a team with a different colored jersey. You know, they're tired of playing against their same guys. You know, plus, like you said, Bob, here in Baltimore, you know, like I was at the Reds. I mean, it's hot, you know, and it's humid. And they're in the middle of the day,
yeah.
You know, so it's not fun, you know, so they're ready. So Thursday night, they're ready. That'll be good because, all right, just look at like Lamar and the guys that are starters. So Wednesday's a walkthrough, so it's basically nothing. Thursday's a game Lamar will do. Those guys that aren't playing, they're going to do pregame warmups. Then you're off on Friday. So they're basically getting, you know, a pretty good little break in there, which will be good for those kind of guys. And I was listening to Harbs, you know, where did I hear Harbs? The interview that he did, you know, and he said that the running back position, these games is going to be big. Now, I did hear, didn't he say that I'll be anxious? Because isn't Dobbins maybe coming back today?
We'll find out around 1:35.
I'll be there, yeah, because that's kind of what the rumor that Dobbins, he's the first one that would be back.
If he's off the pup and ready to go on August the 8th, that really, I'm talking from a me kind of speaking for the fan standpoint, that it's a sigh of relief because he's back, which means his rehab has definitely been going fine. Still to be determined
which Dobbins
what percentage.
It is. Right.
But wouldn't you think, Vinny, that they would be reluctant to send him out there if he's not 100%?
Or
after what they learned last year with Stanley and others.
Or what they're saying is that the next phase of his rehab, he needs to get out there, you know, because in your head, you're still, you know, is it good? Till you get hit, you know, you're still, you know, am I going to hold up? You know, so he's still got to go through, he's still got to pass some mental tests yet. Part of that rehab process.
Now, one of the guys we think is going to play on Thursday night, Ravens preseason opener against the Titans, will be rookie tackle Daniel Fa'alele out of the University of Minnesota, who's been one of the pleasant surprises of training camp 2022. And John Harbaugh talks about the youngster.
We just want to kind of get a feel for him. You know, it's like he's never played there before, and we've got an opportunity with some reps over there. It's kind of makes sense just to put him over there and see how he does, A, and then B, work him in training camp, because during the season you never know who might have to go where and play what. And he did a good job, actually. Now he gets a little tired. His technique fell off toward the end of practice today. You know, that's something just to focus on, you know, the opportunity of fatigue.
And I guess left tackle could be something he might be participating in.
Well, Bob, let me just say this. It's something that he has to participate, and because we talk about it all the time. For him to be active on game day, he's got to. You know, and Bob, does that, here's what that tells me a little bit too, you know, does that mean that Ronnie Stanley's not going to be ready?
I don't know. Ronnie Stanley's kind of the big mystery of training camp right now.
Yeah, because I mean, when I talk to Ron, I mean, he looks good. He walked, you know, I guess we'll see, you know, when he's going to put the pads on. But that's what that tells me a little bit, you know, that they're working Fa'alele at the left side just because. If you were to play a game today, you know, and Juwan James is the left tackle, Morgan Moses is the right tackle, and Makari's your starting center, who's your backup tackle on either side?
Right.
You don't have one. You know, I mean, you got, you know, backups, you know, right now, but that's why Fa'alele, the only problem with that is, Bob, Fa'alele still needs to learn. Like, his techniques suck, you know. Still needs to learn how to step and punch and do those things at the same time. He's got athletic ability. You know, I think if he wants to play left tackle, Bob, he needs to lose about 25 pounds. You know, and that's going to help him in two ways. The biggest thing is like Harbs was saying, stamina. because he can't hold. I mean, Bob, like the Ravens. You're playing on the Ravens offense, and you're running the ball down their throat, and you got those 10 or 12 play drives. He's like, can he make it that? You know, so he needs to get his big butt in shape, and I think the best way for him, he's got to lose weight.
Where's Tristan Colon fit into this whole offensive line mix?
Because
name has not been mentioned much at all.
No, I know. You know, like he and even like Cleveland, Cleveland's kind of, both of them. The games are gonna tell a lot, Bob. That's gonna be the thing, and that's what we gotta see, And guys, you want to see a guy make a quick jump, like Tristan Colon, have a hell of a game, Thursday night, really look good doing the things you need to do, put people on their back, do those things, and then all of a sudden, on Friday or whenever Harbs talks, all of a sudden you'll be hearing, and he'll be getting a lot more reps. The interesting thing, the thing to watch, Bob, is first practice. I'm guessing they're playing Thursday. First practice would be Saturday. On Saturday, what's changed, on the rotation amongst the players?
But what about him in particular? Because on the rare occasion that he's played, he hasn't embarrassed himself.
No,
there's got to be something. There's a disconnect with practice and games because – he's still on the team. He was undrafted out of Missouri, but it's like he's getting lapped.
Yes.
So why is the performance on the field on game days? I don't know. There's got to be, when you watch him in practice, I guess you don't notice him, which is probably a bad thing.
He doesn't get a lot of reps.
Yeah.
and I'm not paying attention to the third group. I just say that, if he wants to make a jump, he's got to do it. And in Thursday night, same with Ben Cleveland. Ben Cleveland, you want to, you got a pooper, get off the pot. Thursday night, a lot of these guys, can make a. And Bob, maybe it's, Mike Devlin came in too. And, you got another set of eyes as the offensive line coach, assistant offensive line coach. And maybe, he sees it differently.
We'll hear more from John Harbaugh later in the show. News from the Nest time coming up at noon. When we come back, however, Orioles hosting Toronto. They're in the mix big time for an AL wildcard spot, and we're going to talk about that. Yes or no, Orioles going to get to the postseason? It's a simple question, but it's got a more complicated answer. But we'll get into that and more. Zach Silver covers the Orioles for MLB.com. Top of the hour. Whip around 11:15, and then we'll preview camp with the Ravens. Cordell Woodland, 11:30 here on The Fan.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Chalk it up to be a rare one. I don't think anybody else in the dugout or in the clubhouse feels like, we're about to go on a streak of losing. There's zero thought of that whatsoever. Chalk it up to being a rare loss for us, and we'll keep moving forward.
Spencer Watkins, yesterday's losing pitcher for the Orioles. Oriole Park at Camden Yards, 8-1 finale, goes in Pittsburgh's favor. But as you heard him say, hey, what do you think, the earth is, sky is falling? Earth is coming to an end. No, we're not looking at a long losing streak. You can't win them all.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with this, everybody, but no team in the history of baseball has ever finished undefeated.
Right.
And it's only happened once in the NFL. And it's never happened in hockey. It's never happened in the NBA. It's happened in college. But you get the point. It's a rare occasion when the Orioles have lost a game here starting since July. They've got one of the best records in the American League. I think it's actually the best record.
Mm-hmm.
Since July the 1st, as the Yankees, for instance, have scuppled since the All-Star break, the Orioles have been really starting to percolate here. But you took one on chin yesterday. Now the question is, how do they respond? And based on their resilience that we have seen this year, I expect, I'm not saying they're going to win tonight. I'm not going to get any guarantees right now. But they're not going to roll over and get clobbered. I mean, this isn't going to be the start of a five-game losing streak, you don't think, because they lost a tough one yesterday to the Pirates, because Pittsburgh tries too. The other teams try.
Yes.
Now, as we know, maybe you get into September, other teams might be packing their bags and looking to the offseason. We've seen it in all sports where teams are like, we're done. Let's try to get out of here and I mean, we're going to lose. Let's not get embarrassed, but let's we're done. The 100% college try effort's right. not going to be there.
I think the only way that they would have a losing streak, Bob, is if they don't hit. You know, if they go into a like they didn't hit yesterday, four hits. You know, so if they're not hitting, you know, they're not scoring. And Watkins, the problem, get Watkins a little oomph. I mean, he put down 13 straight before he gave up some blue pits, and then they right. scored on those, you know, nothing. The exit velo probably wasn't very high. But if they could have scored a run or two early on, you know, first time I seen Mateo get thrown out in a while, too.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't a lot of line drives flying all over Cannon Yard. They just got some, Pirates did, some opportune hits, and they made it happen. You have Lyles against Kikuchi, Bradish against Manoa, and then Kramer against Barrios on Wednesday. So Manoa and Barrios, very tough. Kikuchi's no easy day at the beach either. So the Orioles are going to have to bring the whipping sticks because Toronto's going to bring some high-level starting pitching here. Toronto, as we know, they've got an offense that can bash away, led by Vlad Jr., among others. George Springer's banged up again for them. But Nolan, get in here. Simple yes or no. And I'm looking at the schedule here, at least recent or the upcoming game. And they've got some interesting matchups because they play in a tough division where all five teams are very much part of the playoff equation as we're into the fifth month of the season. Nolan McGraw, you're on the spot. Yes or no? Will the Orioles make the playoffs?
Right now, you know what? I'll be the optimistic voice here. I'm going to say yes.
Reason being?
Well, you want to be able to control your own destiny. And the great thing about being in such a competitive division here is that the teams ahead of you, all the teams around you, most of them battling for those other wild card spots, are the teams that you're going to face the most down the stretch. So it's not like we're going to be scoreboard watching, saying, all right, we got to win, and okay, I hope the Red Sox lose or Toronto loses. No, you're going to face Toronto. You're going to face Boston. You're going to face Tampa. You control your own destiny. So I think that that bodes well for the Orioles, and they're up for the challenge.
What do you think, Vinny? Controlling your own destiny is where you want to be for sure. I mean, against Toronto, up close and personal, controlling your destiny here. You can really cut into their advantage in the wild card if you win three in a row.
The only thing I would say that may be difficult for them is how many guys on their roster, Bob, have been through a playoff push like this in August?
I'm going to say Rougned Odor, and that Jordan Lyles, I guess, has been around for a little bit. But other than that, to your point,
that's the only
not
thing,
a lot of playoff experience here for sure.
Right. So that's the only thing that concerns me. I'm going to say, Bob, they hang in there, but they don't make it at the end.
This 10-game stretch, they go 7-3.
Oh, then they're definitely.
I'm buying.
Yes.
So right now, Nolan. And no bigger Oriole fan you're going to find than the old Bobster here. But I'm saying no.
Yeah.
I'm saying no. I think the offensive inconsistencies and the rotation. Hey, look, Austin Voth has been great. Jordan Lyles has been outstanding. Kramer, that was great to see on Friday night. Even if they can maintain that, then sure, the bullpen's been outstanding all year long. They make these good, strong defensive plays. But I'm still more concerned with the offense going south than I am with
yesterday.
It's starting pitching in the offense.
We need Those Hayes to get back, too.
He's banged up with the oblique, and he's missed, four in a row, five of six?
Well, that's kind of his nature, though, right?
But it's tough to not have. He's there, but he's not there.
Right.
So you have a
availability.
Yeah, you have a short bench because you have a guy that, you know, might be able to get in.
Well, that's why Phillips and Varvara. Yeah, I mean, you got two dudes that, you know, they can't. They're not powerful type hitters.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that it's been a great run, and I hope it lasts for another 6-7 weeks, but I don't know. I'm skeptical that it will take place. I will be thoroughly floored if they make it happen and excited, and I'll be buying that playoff hat just like everybody else. But right now, maybe I'm trying to use, Vinny, reverse psychology. I don't want to jinx them, so I'm picking against them. Because if I picked them, they'd be doomed. So I'm going to pick against them. First of all, thinking rationally.
Right.
And secondly, maybe doing the old reverse schlep rock on our Birds of Baltimore here. When we come back, more Orioles talk. Zach Silver, MLB.com. Top of the hour. Whip around going on, 11:15. Vinny was out in Canton, Ohio on this date in 2004. One of the strongest Hall of Fame classes ever was inducted into Canton. We'll talk about that. And then at 11:30, Cordell Woodland, our Orioles and Ravens reporter, talk about the start of training camp this week, August the 8th. In pads today, preseason opener only 3 days away.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.